Hey guys, this is D'Amico. This is our first podcast. It's an extension of Mango Minutes. Check that out as well. And I'm with
Trenton.
Trin.
Chilling with Tashawn.
This is Aqua.
And we were just thinking and, you know, sitting here, you know, today or yesterday was my birthday, and we were thinking like, oh wow, this is my last teenage years. And we really got into the idea of growing old. And yeah, that's where the conversation is now. So let's keep the conversation going.
I mean, I guess he just wanted to give them like a good intro. Or just yeah. It's like now we find our heroes talking about growing.
It's just cute the way he was talking. Like he was leaving a voicemail.
I just know the hell not.
Or like that uncle said, like, never really left.
Yeah.
Even in audio.
Hi, it's Uncle Nico. Give me a phone call back. But, like, you don't have
to. I can't, like, I really feel like that's, like, the type of, like, older person I want to be. Just like the kind
but
of...
But you would be faking.
Yeah, but, like, I'm just saying, it can come naturally. I never know.
No,
you don't know that. You don't. You can't just be a disapproving auntie about what I want to be when I'm older.
I'm telling you, it's not going to be that.
What type of dream killing shit is that?
It's not going to be that.
You don't know that. That's the thing. Nobody knows.
Wait, okay, so you're not saying, like, specifically, like, that, like, specifically
you said
those words, but, like,
he would like to be,
yeah, just
like
something
this
of that charm,
technology.
Something of that charm, I'd assume.
Okay, so,
some,
like, if
or like
people
a charm,
have, like,
adorable little uncle.
Yeah.
If
little,
people,
yeah,
like, leave holograms, like, voicemails in the future, you'd be like...
What happened? Do they see me?
Yeah, like that.
Well, I don't even really mean that, because, like, I just feel like that just means, like, I'm out of touch. Like, his didn't seem like he was out of touch or anything. It just seemed, like, really genuine.
Yeah.
Like, you were letting them know what you were talking about and why you were talking about it.
Yeah.
Do you meet this person?
Yes, I just want to be a genuine old guy.
I'm a genuine old guy.
That's okay.
That's
you're
adorable, yeah.
I don't know why. Okay.
Why are you defensive? We're supporting you.
Because I'm being laughed at.
You know, nobody's laughing at you.
I'm not laughing at you.
We're laughing next
it's
to you.
It's cute, so I'm giggling.
It's cute because I'm giggling. So, yeah, that conversation kind of, you know, relates to the overall, you know, evolution of your mindset as you kind of age, you know? Like, you know one thing I think about? Like, the music we listen... the music that we listen to today... It's going to become old school one day. So we're going to be a bunch of old farts dancing to Megan Thee Stallion and NLE Choppa. You know what I'm saying?
You just got to get our shit on.
Yeah,
we're
going to be like, yeah. We're going to be like, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a
menace. Keep your record on tennis. And, like, you know.
And the baby and all that. You got to throw our walkers down.
We got to throw our walkers down for this.
Oh, my knee. Yeah.
You know, real ass, give a fuck.
I mean, hold up, is like.
What did he say? I want to die young. And he said, why? I want to die at 50. That's dying young. 50, that's dying young.
50's
old
enough. It's like,
no.
No.
Nigga,
yeah,
what?
At least another 30.
When I said die young,
my mom's turning 50. Like,
when
50.
I say die young, I mean, like.
20s, in your 20s. I think that's dying young.
I mean, like.
Or like
65,
in your teens.
65 is pretty old. It's not pretty old, but it's like
your world
young
is
old.
Huge.
I want to outlive everybody.
No, like in my genes, and my genes are crazy. Like I'm set up to live forever.
Yes.
But like, you know that it's not dark. You know that shit where like people like kill themselves.
Suicide.
But, like,
what?
You heard about this really indie thing called suicide where people kill themselves?
It's real quirky.
No, it's when people who are sick.
Oh, euthanasia.
But yeah, like they make the decision. It's
young
like,
people
like,
in Asia?
It's euthanasia.
Oh, yeah. like a little Korean kid.
That's what I thought it was called.
The medical term is euthanasia.
We're not going to make use it.
The, like, the more common thing.
Yeah,
like,
that part,
this
I'm going to do that.
Gross.
But not necessarily because I'm sick, but just because like I'm content with where I am. Like, this is a good place to close the book.
So you feel like you just, like, if you feel like your life is complete, you'd be willing to just euthanize yourself?
If I feel like my life is complete and like my kids are like set up and like they're straight and like if I'm good with my legacy is where I want to be, I'm like, what's the point of me sitting here and like aching and shit?
But like, I
just assume I'm just gonna be like old as dirt, chilling, looking at everybody, judging and shit. For
that's already you.
But am I old as dirt?
No, but she, like, you just achieved your life goal, but you're still like living through it.
Yeah, you're young.
I'm not satisfied.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, don't you feel like your kids would really be messed up though?
Because
you have to like talk with them about that beforehand.
They would be like adults, and we would have a conversation, and like they would have to like the decision, but ultimately, it's not their life.
Shit, fuck what you're talking about. I'm killing myself. I
did all this shit for you. I'm good. You're good. I'm a dick.
Yeah,
like,
I'm feeling. I'm
but like, I, like for me, like death isn't the end of. Like your existence,
it's not the like life. You just move on.
You just move on to the next chapter. Light work.
No, I'm just gonna be living forever and be like, I had a dream about fish. Which one of you nasty people are pregnant? You know, like, you know, just be living forever. You know, you never heard that? Like, if you dream about fish, somebody in the family's having a baby.
Yeah, I've heard
I'm
of
gonna
that.
Be one.
That is some country.
That's not country.
I don't know. Dreams are really weird like that because, like, you can, like, are we going around talking about our dreams now? Or
I mean, no, like, that's just something, like, that's a common thing. Like,
yeah.
If, like, the old heads, like, my aunt would be like, I had a dream about fish. My dad would be like, yeah, I dreamt about fish too. Be like, somebody's having a baby, like.
And they'll all look at Destiny.
Is my dad having a baby?
Nope.
Dude.
First of all, who's Destiny? My name is Aqua.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
Yes, Aqua. Are you going to bed? Oh, I thought you. Oh, he was setting up like okay. But now, like, I guess like when I get all I really want to do throughout life is like travel, meet people, and have adventures, and you know help put my life at risk sometimes. You know, be a little risky. You know, make memories. You know, because when I get to that point of where I can't really do stuff anymore, then I want to be able to say, wow, man, I lived it up.
Your quote, like, when you said that, it reminded me of something Gabrielle Union was talking about. And she was just, because she was talking about how women shouldn't feel like they only need to use their vaginas for like, procreation. And she was just talking about, like there's so much life out there. Like, go out there, have sex, and just be free. Like be yourself. Go have as much sex as you want. And I mean, not to like change the tone of it or anything, but like that, like when you said that, it really just reminded me. It's like you want to live your best life in a sense.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I would like to have sex a lot when I start to have it. When I start to have it, I would like to have it. No, but I get what you're saying. Like, you know, be free. Don't live by society's constraints. Yeah. And see the world. I feel like now that people are living longer. I was listening to this guy. I can't remember his name. I think his name's Gary. Shout out to Gary. he was talking about like how we're expected at our age to know what we want to do with our lives. Yeah. When really we should be spending this time in our 20s exploring different avenues and really finding ourselves and then settling down and say, okay, I want to do this. You know what I'm saying? But I guess that's what college is about, because we can change our majors and things like that. It's not set in stone.
But that's not free.
True. True.
Yeah.
But he also said something about that too. Like, if your parents are paying for it, then you kind of got to do it. If you do something solid, you know, a solid job. But, you know, I think that goes back to our educational system. Oh, here we go. We brought it back.
Like, because I got to wait for this moment.
I've been waiting. We got the podcast. But, like, it's just, like, I do feel like it's, I don't know, maybe I'm just biased because, you know, it was hard for me to make a decision. I'm just a naturally indecisive person. But, you know, as the educational system, it kind of expects you at this time to make a decision. You know what I'm saying? And I was talking to Parrish today, and... Oh,
for preface,
Leo Titus Perry.
Don't say his full fucking name. He wouldn't want to be on
well,
this.
We can bleep it out then.
Oh, okay.
Leo Titus
Perry. Leo. Sounds like a powerful black name.
I didn't even say his name.
No, you said Leo Titus. That's not his name.
Oh, okay.
It's not?
No.
I know, we're going to save it from memory.
We just thought that would be right.
Yeah, we thought that sounded right because I've seen it.
That's not even his name.
What's his Star Wars name?
Well, we can't say it now.
What's his name? Guys, I don't think they can hear us.
Nah, Leo Titty Parrish.
Leo Titty. Yeah, he was like a lot of people have switched their majors from engineering. And it's like, yeah, man.
Tough. It's hard. It's really
hard. We were like 17, 18 when we made that decision.
I know. But like,
what major?
Yeah. But I think I noticed a trend. A lot of us don't know what we're signing up for.
To be completely honest, I think this might just be because I've thought about my life a lot. I've had what I wanted to do down since about sixth grade.
See?
And I think.
That's changed. Three different times.
I don't ever change. I don't like change.
Mm-hmm. See, yeah, it's also a personality kind of thing. You know,
like preference. You said that you were like indecisive.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I just like. It's like I think I'm indecisive until like the last minute, and then like I make an impulsive decision that's like really important. But then like I usually just like stick to it.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know. Okay, this, and then I'm like, yeah, that'll work.
That's how I was deciding to come to college. Like, man, I was like A into your state, A into your NC state, and I was like, I don't know, man, because like both were good schools, and like I just didn't know how to make a decision. Because I got in the habit.
Can you plug that up for me over there?
Because I got in the habit, like as a young adult or child in general, of doing what was right. Like I'm seeing things as what is right, what is wrong, and usually like. Is this hurting somebody's feelings? Is this going to hurt somebody? Is this going to make me look bad? Like, yada, yada, yada. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even when, like, okay, let's say when it came to girls. Let's say I was kind of being flirty with a girl, and now she has feelings, but I don't like her. And because I don't want to hurt her, and I don't want her to think of me as a bad person, I would say that I like her when I really didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would, like, that's something I probably would do, like, middle school, elementary. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's because I sought validation from other people a lot. And I, you know, still kind of did throughout middle and, like, high school, but not too much. Because I kind of, like, recognized, like, I don't, you know.
But wait, I mean, like, you already had, like, she already liked
No, that was just an example. That was just an example. I'm saying, like, I was afraid of hurting her. And, like,
you were afraid of not being in good favor with people.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, basically. I was afraid of hurting people. I was afraid of not being in good favor with people. I don't know. I guess because I sought like bonds with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember the exact moment in my life I got over that. Like,
I'm talking about it.
I was in elementary school, and then like I was in like ASP. ASP is like after school program, so like it's where you would go if your parents didn't love you.
So like aftercare.
Yeah, if they didn't love you enough to pick you up after school, you just stay there after school.
Busy. People know.
No, they ain't love me. No, I used to
just go home to an empty house.
They don't. Okay, and they like. That's what I did in middle school, but in elementary school.
How old were you?
We weren't allowed to be latchkey kids. Like someone had to pick you up from the bus stop, or they had to pick you up at school. Like
that's
if they
a
didn't have.
Kid.
Being
at home.
It's like when you go home by yourself.
Oh.
I did that in middle school. Anyways.
Anyway,
we just taking precautions.
We were like little alley
cats.
Doors never locked.
And
I just walked in.
That doesn't seem very like safe for like,
you.
Like
possessed or abducted and whatever.
I have a little key around my neck. Like, don't you want to? Okay, so ASP. I don't remember what happened. I just remember I came home crying and like I told my parents, or not my parents. I told my dad because like if I was crying, my mom didn't care. But like my dad, he was like, "What's up?" And I told him that, like, someone didn't like me. And he was like, "So?" And then I was like, "Wow, you're right." So. And then.
That moment is, like, when just, like.
Why do I care about
that? And I thank God.
What do they do?
For like my mom and my dad, because I think my mom kind of went through that stuff, like of worrying what other people thought, and then it hit her, and then like she really tried to instill that in me, like, you know, forget what other people think. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But I think for me, it was a continuous process of just reminding myself, you know.
That's something you have to reach on your own,
I think.
Yeah. I did like things that opposite, and I was always mean to people. And the reasoning was I wanted to see how far I could push them away before they would actually stop giving a fuck about me. Really toxic.
I feel like I'm doing a little bit of that now.
I've grown into that trait. That wasn't something I started with.
Which was really bad. I had to tone that back a little bit. Okay. Just a bit. But like, I really used to be like, it really, because like, you know, I did that a little bit with you.
Cam told me that you wanted to test me and see how far I
could
go.
You just didn't seem like a genuine person. you were incredibly,
so superficial.
You were incredibly too nice, and yeah. I did not understand it.
To me, it just seemed like
so. I have to keep being so. Like, I reverted back to younger me, which was like I had to keep being mean to you to see how far it would take just for you to do something.
Yeah, like some days,
I remember one day,
Dean
was like, "Damn it, Destiny."
Like,
you know what? But then he would still be like laughing and smiling.
Like, I get mad. Like, I used to feel bad because I felt like I used to get mad at my brothers more than I got mad at other people when I should have got mad at them. And I used to feel so bad about that. Like, I could sometimes snap at my brothers, but I couldn't like snap at other people. And that used to bother me because I was conscious of it, but I just couldn't control it sometimes.
Yeah.
We treat the people closest to us horribly.
We do. And I don't
like my sister.
I don't treat them bad. It's just like, I love my brothers to death. They just get on my nerves sometimes, but I love them to death, and, you know?
Familiarity breeds contempt.
It does.
And we take them for granted because they're always around. Like, my sister, she's a great sister, but for some reason, like, if she did something, like, little that annoyed me, like, it just, this rage inside of me that I can't control. But, like, if y'all did it, I'd be like, oh, like, stop it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just,
it's
like,
just something about, it just, like, it's a, like, a hot, like, red anger
it's like,
that I
it's
feel.
Like,
I mean, I guess that's sort of the thing, piggybacking off of Trent's point, because like we know like these people will like still be there for us, and
true.
We know that like at the end of the day, they may not like us,
but they got
more often than not, they're gonna love us even with all our faults.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
and like plus like with friends, you don't because I hate getting on Twitter and seeing people complain about like, oh, they don't have any friends, or just like, oh, like, I had to cut all my friends out of my life. And I'm like, is a lot of this just because, like, they wouldn't put up with certain habits, or, like, you wouldn't put up with certain habits of theirs?
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, it's just, we don't really want to get, like, that familial anger with our friends, because I guess we're scared in the sense of not knowing if they'll be there tomorrow after we did what we did, or they'll be able to forgive us after what we did
Yeah.
Whereas like a cousin, or like, I mean, not even necessarily like a cousin, because
like a brother,
like a brother or sister,
it's someone that you're close to, like
that. They can't go away.
Yeah, it's like, because they'll have to be there even through the hard times.
Yeah,
even my cousins, like over the summers, if I spent a lot of time with them, Conkay and I used to be at each other's throats. It was, like, I hated going over there sometimes because we would just argue all the time.
Wait, you're related to a Conkay?
Conkay and I are god sisters.
Oh, I had no
our
idea.
Mothers are best friends, so like over the summer I would always be like at her house.
I can see y'all fighting.
Yeah, we would argue all the time. Like, you know how Owen and Conkay were arguing?
Oh my god.
It was like that, but like all day, every day. And then we got older and we grew out of it.
Mm-hmm. That's how it is. Like, you know, at a certain point, it's time to go out of it.
Yeah.
Like, because with me and my cousins, like, they were either like really old, like having kids of their own, or they were babies. Mm-hmm. You know, like are like infants. Right. I can't like relate to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I was the kid like that whenever like it was like an event, let's say like going my. Because my friends, my parents' friends always go like parties, Christmas, Halloween, and stuff like that. And like, I would hang out with the kids, like, they would be my age or at least close to my age. And like, you know, I was like, eh, let me go find something else to do. Where's my dad? Where's my mom? Yeah. You know, I would hang out with them. I would hang out with old people. And that made me feel like,
makes so much sense.
Yes. I know. Like, I would like to hang out. I would hang out with, like, I would go find my dad. And like try to sit with them, but you know, they say, "All right, we talking about grown folks stuff."
Yeah, it's in all this.
So like, I was trying to like just sit with them and like listen what they're talking about, and be like,
"That wasn't me.
It wasn't me."
No, it was just funny because over there eating hors d'oeuvres, like all these things. That's why he likes them to this day.
Yeah, exactly. But like, you know, that kind of made me think, like, was I out of touch with my generation, or was I like? Was that socially awkward?
Did you feel like you were one of those people that like watch older music videos and like say, "Oh, I hate this music generation. I wish my music was more like
no, this." No, I like the music of today and like music of the past. You know, yeah. I like it all, but it's like some stuff I didn't relate to. When I'm around people I don't know too well, I like to just chill.
I feel like there's definitely like a like scoping out process. Like making sure like you see how people are.
Exactly, because y'all see how I act. Like I say random stuff.
Yeah, and that, like and I only say the stuff I do because like I'm so comfortable with it. Because
if I know that I can't say that, and you're gonna look at me sideways.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna say it. Yeah.
I remember when I like joined the honors group chat, I was like, "Who the fuck is this nigga Deshaun?" Because you'd already been in there for a while.
Oh yeah, I was
just you were already saying out of pocket stuff, and I was like, "Yo,
wait,
whoa,
is he okay?"
Because I was still scoping people out.
Yeah,
and I was, "Oh, okay, wow."
I feel like that's kind of like my like a problem of mine. Like I don't really. I don't take the effort to, like, talk to people, like, one-on-one sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just so, like, they can get to know who I am. Because I feel like I'm scared of saying something, like, really just, like, out of pocket or out of left field. And, like, be like, "Yo, like, what the fuck is your... Like, I don't want to be around you anymore."
Yeah.
And, like, nobody wants that. Like,
yeah.
So. Your straight face be throwing us off sometimes. But ultimately, we understand.
Like, I understand your sarcasm. Like, you're... When you're not like being for real, when you mm-hmm. say some stuff, like
just
I'm saying,
really good at
yeah,
it.
You're
just really yeah. good at it.
But I feel that, man. I feel that because like the way I act, like you know, like goofy stuff. I do this by myself sometimes. Like mm-hmm. I'll make random noises and like sing and freaking do weird stuff when I'm on my own.
I feel like everybody does that, but like not everybody will say it.
I don't. I'll sing, but like I don't.
I'll do some like freaking goofy thing. I'll make a joke to myself and I'm like, ah,
like I know what you're talking about because I've seen it.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's weird. I just don't do that.
Yeah. Like I'm calm too when I'm on my own because you're going to grow. You're going to be calm when you're on your own. But like I can be calm. You know, just chilling. It's just when I'm around people that I know accept me and I enjoy their company, and I'm gonna have fun. You know.
When I was, like, younger, and even kind of now, like, I was, okay, so I have, like, a bunch of siblings, but they're all way older than me, so it was more like I was an only child, like, growing up, where I just had, like, my own space. So, like, I would go play with the kids, and then I would just get tired of them really fast. So, like, I still have memories of, like, playing with everyone and enjoying it, but then, like, eventually I'd be like, I need to go sit at the grown folks table. Like, y'all are just doing too much
like,
right now.
It's like... I'm like, sit down. I'm doing too much.
In some corner and read a book. Like,
like, y'all are doing too much. But, like, when I think about it, like, I would want to do that stuff. It's just, I'm not right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I remember, like, one summer, my cousins started crying because I hurt their feelings because I didn't want to, like, play with them. And I was just, like, in my room reading. And they were like, "Why doesn't she, like, want to come out with us? Like, did we make her mad?" I was like, I just want to read my book.
I just want to read my Percy Jackson, man.
Literally.
Percy Jackson was a wonderful series.
Like, something I was, like, I kind of, like, feel weird for not being able to get into, like, of the Percy Jackson, like, it's like Harry Potter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't.
I don't know what it was. I feel like it might have just been.
What the hell is wrong with y'all?
I feel like it might have just been, like, after my time, but I don't know what
it was.
It
was before our time, technically.
It was before.
Yeah, it was before.
It came out, like the late 90s, right?
Yeah, they
the books came out late 90s. The movies started the year we were born.
I didn't even watch the movies. Yeah. I've never seen a single one.
I saw one fragment.
I was like kind of into them growing up, and I didn't really like love it until like late middle school when I Well, no, I read the books like late elementary school, and then I reread them late middle school, and that's when I loved it.
I read the books, I have a box set, I've watched all the movies, I've read all the books and watched all the movies, like...
I have, like, this beautiful, like, set that I won't even open to read of just the books that...
Oh, the castle one?
Yes. And, okay, so I asked for it for Christmas, and my sister and my dad got it for me, so I technically have two.
That's nice. I'm gonna get you the castle.
That happens to me a lot. Like, I don't ask for a lot for Christmas, so a lot of times I get like the same gift from different people.
Like, it's so pretty.
Like, well, you asked for an alarm clock, and like three people got me alarm clocks.
I guess you're gonna wake up for sure.
I just didn't want anything else.
So you were like, an alarm clock.
Because, like, whatever, yeah, whatever. And I was like, they're not gonna get me gifts, but then they did.
I used to
Harry Potter was an amazing series. Still is an amazing series.
I mean, yeah, I'm not doubt. I just never picked up the book and started reading it. With that, like, Percy Jackson, it just caught my eye. Like, I loved it.
Percy Jackson was, okay.
I got halfway into it.
The issue is, right, okay. I feel like Percy Jackson would have had the same amount of success as the Harry Potter series has and continues to still have, but... One, the series is entirely too long to do the series after the series, which gets confusing.
It was good though.
Two, they didn't do the first movie justice.
No, they oh my god. Oh,
and take away the movie, like this one. The first movie, it wasn't terrible.
It just wasn't.
It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't like the
best. But they didn't start off on the right age of actors. Harry Potter, they grew those actors up. They picked them actors up from like middle school, elementary school at the age of 12.
Yeah.
And grew them up. Like, you didn't know who Daniel Radcliffe was until he became Harry Potter because they picked that man up from middle school.
Yeah.
Basically. They did that with all the actors.
Yeah.
Percy Jackson, like, by the time the second movie hit, he looked 18.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't no progressing past that.
Exactly.
We didn't watch them grow.
Yeah,
you didn't watch them grow, which was their ultimate downfall.
I agree.
But like, even like what you said about the books, kind of low key. Like, I liked Percy Jackson, but like, okay, Harry Potter has 7 books. All I had to do was keep my attention for 7 books. By the time I got to the 7th Percy Jackson book, I was still interested, but I was like,
I read the whole Percy Jackson series. And then they're like, Heroes of Olympus. I said, what the hell?
Yeah.
I don't remember if I read through it all because...
Heroes of Olympus? Like, that second series was good. I mean, yeah, it was like kind of like, what? But it was good.
It
like
was
the
good.
Romans.
I just have a goldfish brain. Just, like, I can't...
It was entirely...
Make it shorter.
I'm sorry, you know, okay. Like, Heroes of Olympus was like... No, like, okay, like...
Son of Neptune? Was great.
I'm sorry to that man, but like, Heroes of Olympus didn't need to happen.
I liked it.
Like, an entire series?
Yes, because it was like true. Like, it was like, okay, they defeated the Titans. They were good.
One of the best things you can do as like the author, as a writer, is to like leave an ending as an ending.
Yeah.
Oh wait, spoiler alert for those who haven't read the Percy Jackson books.
Oh yeah, spoiler alert. I kind of spoiled it already when I said they defeated the Titans, but, you know.
That's not so.
Like, the best thing you can do is, like, as an author, it's, like, just leave things well enough alone. And you're going to collect the checks. You're going to continue to do so. People are going to make things off of your success for years.
Like Harry Potter.
Like, honestly, like, right now, J.K. Rowling, she's like, well, I guess I can write something else. And that's how we got Fantastic Beasts and whatnot.
You know what's so funny about Harry Potter is that pretty much everybody decided that we weren't going to listen to J.K. Rowling no more. We were like, it's nice that you said that's canon. It's not canon.
It's not.
It's not.
I did feel like that was a bit like pandering. At like a little bit,
the Fantastic Beast.
No, not even that. When she was just like changing a bunch of stuff afterwards, and just
like she would like tweet things, and we would be like, "Listen, we already came up. It's like you waited too long.
We
came up with explanations for these things already.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you say. We've all accepted the truth. It doesn't matter what you think is going on in your world. We've accepted
super facts. Also because now it's like I can't listen to anything she says because now she's just like a horrible person.
Isn't she like, yeah, isn't she problematic in like a lot of ways?
Yeah, now she's like problematic.
We dumped her a long time ago, so it don't even matter.
We like what you created and now it's ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we took it.
That's mine.
And then we added our own things, and whatever she says, it's like, maybe if we like it, we'll take it, but, like, it's not set in stone.
It's under peer review right now.
Yeah. It's got to go through a process first to be checked before we accept it.
One series I've always enjoyed, a series of unfortunate events.
My children have to read it. They don't have an option.
Okay, I know it was called a series of unfortunate events, but the ending still was like...
What was the ending? I don't know.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
It was sad. I just remember it was sad. I'm pretty sure that they were just...
They like lived on their own for a
while. Yeah, they made it to an island, right? Count Olaf is dead.
Supposedly.
There's like, hell... Okay, basically, hell people die.
Mm-hmm. Everybody.
And they're left with this newborn. They name the newborn after their mom. They live on the island for a year. And they're like, okay, I guess we're ready to go back to where everything started. So them and the baby go out and like leave the islands, but it was
just sad. I wanted them to murder that nigga Count Olaf so many times. No, but he should have died in the first book.
He died. Netflix did a very good job.
I haven't watched it. Is it good?
I liked the movie though. Like the movie.
The movie made it too fast.
Yeah, they did. It was like it went like through all the books and like.
Yes, but like when I like read the books though, I like the casting that they did with the movie because when I read the books, I see those people.
Mm, me too.
Sunny in the Netflix one really hits for me.
Was it? She like CGI.
No.
CGI. Let me look this up. I wish
I could like relate to like a lot of this stuff, but like I was more like the anime, like manga guy.
Sorry.
Inuyasha? Did you ever watch Inuyasha?
I Inuyasha was like very like 6 in the morning on Cartoon Network. Yeah.
That was what got me started. But, There was another Inuyasha. There was another book series. I don't know if y'all. It was like Cats. It's called
Oh, I know you're talking about where, like, the eyes and shit were, like, the cover of the books or my trip.
Yeah, and they were, like, clans.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I didn't read... I think I read, like, a book.
They were really good. I used to think I was weird for reading them, but they were, like, really good.
All the weird kids did read them. Yeah. But, like, it was interesting. I think I was just, like, all the weird kids read this, and also... You ever like start a movie on Netflix and or not a movie like a TV show on Netflix and you're like I can't get invested in this like it's just too much for me to get invested.
There was one show on Netflix that I watched. It was an anime. It's called Code Geass, and I stopped watching it for the longest because it's take place in Japan and there's this whole build up. Okay, so basically like Britain takes over the world. They take over Japan, right? And this princess, she's like, okay, I'm going to free Japan. And she has all these Japanese people in the stadium. And this guy, he can control people with his eye. And he fucks up and, like, commands her. Oh, snap. I got a sense of that. He commands her to, like, he's like, oh, yeah, I can make people do whatever. Like, if I told you to kill all the Japanese, you would do it. And he couldn't control his power. And, like, she did it. Like, she went outside and said, Japanese people, can you all die? And she ordered the soldiers to kill him. And, like... My heart broke because like they were this close to peace.
So wait, like what good is the power if you can't control it?
Wait, so it was like a whole series and it built up to her.
Well, the series not over yet. Like there's a second season after this.
Moment just ruined it for you.
Yeah, I was like, dang, am I gonna stop watching? Cause I'm like, oh my god, she's like murdering thousands of people. But I know he can control it. Just
how do you explain that? It was an accident.
It was, yeah. Like, how he explained it, well, he didn't even explain it, because it's a whole story, and it's too much to explain. Y'all gotta watch it. It's called Code Geass. It's on Netflix. It's pretty good.
You're not even watching it.
I'm watching it now. I'm coming back into it. Because it's like, he's half Japanese and half British, mm-hmm. or Britannian, as they call it, because, like, a whole bunch of history changed. Like, his mother got killed because she was kind of like a concubine or one of the wives of the king. So he got shipped off to Japan, right?
Okay.
And he grows up with this guy who's Japanese. And, like, he's the son of the former Japanese prime minister who killed himself. And he was, like, leading this resistance. And they grew up together. And the guy, the Britain guy, half Japanese, let's call him half-breed. The half-breed grows up and he's like, you know what, I'm gonna start a revolution because I want to kill my dad. And he creates this whole persona of,
just because he wants to kill
his dad. Wants to get revenge because he knows somebody in that royal family killed his mom and he wants to find out. So he makes this persona, this guy called Zero, and he leads, he starts a rebellion against them.
I don't think about
those. He starts this whole rebellion against Britannia. And, like, he has this power because he meets this girl. And he can, like, tell people what to do with, like, his eye. But it only works once. So, he can be like, kill yourself. And then they'll do it. Or he can be like, go do this.
And then what do you mean it only works once?
Because if he tries it again on the same person, then it won't work. Yeah. And, like, it's really good. Because he's kind of like an anti-hero. You root for him, but he does some messed up stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, he shoots the princess. And the princess is, like, his sister, almost, like half sister, or like somebody he grew up with, but because of the situation, he had to like kill her because she was just going to keep going. Because the trance doesn't get off of you until you complete the task, and her task was to kill all the Japanese people, so she wasn't going to stop really. So he had to kill her, and he killed his
brother
too.
That was his own fault. What if he dies? Does the trance like break?
If he dies? Oh, I don't know. Probably. Yeah. It's a pretty cool show. Ignore that 10-minute rant. Just check it out. Yeah, so you said you watched anime when you were younger.
Yeah, it was definitely like obviously, like, you got your Dragon Ball Zs and whatnot and your Pokemon. But, like, something that, like, really, I think was just, like, more of reading manga. So One Piece was, like, This is a tremendously long series.
It's still going.
Yeah, it's still going on like right now.
It's like Supernatural.
Yeah, but like that. But like that actually has an ending set. So
Supernatural hasn't ended yet.
No, I'm saying like they. I thought this next season was the last one.
It is.
Yeah,
I was.
That's gonna make me sad. It's like Doctor Who. That's what I'm gonna say. Doctor Who never ends.
Oh yeah, Doctor Who never ends.
That's never something I can really get into.
I was a part of Super Hulock.
What is that?
When you like Supernatural, Doctor Who. Well, I kind of liked Sherlock, but like I wasn't really into it like that. But like it's like a fandom for people who like all because it's usually like the same type of people.
I mean, I feel like a lot of fandom stuff. It's this very dedicated fans, you know?
I'm really cool.
I just feel like I don't think I could dedicate that much time of my life to something, you know?
Yeah. It was more so like I would follow the fandom boards on Pinterest and then just look at their fun shit casually.
You know what bothers me?
I guess it grinds my gears.
You know what? Turn to Joe Rogan. You know what grinds my gears? The lizard men are living among us, and Hillary Clinton is the Antichrist.
And she killed Jeffrey Epstein.
I want to do more research into lizard people.
I don't know.
I'm interested in like conspiracies and stuff. Yeah.
Isn't
that
like, life out there?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you're an ignoramus if you don't think.
No, so. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you this theory, right? That I saw in this video. Mm-hmm. There's a theory called the Great Filter. The reason we haven't ran into extraterrestrial life is because of this Great Filter. And the Great Filter is an extinction level threat, something that wipes out the entirety of the human race, right?
Okay.
So, the way, the theory behind it is the reason we haven't seen anybody is because we're either behind it and we're approaching that extinction level threat, or we're ahead of it and we're going to go colonize, dang, I don't know why I couldn't get that, our solar system and beyond and da-da-da. And the reason we haven't ran into anybody else is because other species have not been able to go beyond that Great Filter.
Why don't they just go around it?
But yeah,
I feel like the aliens just don't fuck with us.
Why wouldn't they? Like, help us out. They see the condition.
Right? I don't know, man. I feel like Earth is like the FAMU of like everything else.
With the FAMU.
Yeah, because like. He's like, everybody else is like, is chilling and going about their life, and like,
we just always on some out of pocket shit.
Exactly, like we'll be the nuttiest niggas in the solar system.
I mean, but yeah, they had to be nutty themselves at some point.
We're worse than FAMU. We're like Florida or like Russia.
Oh yeah, by the way, just for this podcast, why the heck is Central mimicking? No, not Central. What was that? Winston.
The mimicking, the A and T, I got my A in front of my G.
That was Central.
That was Central?
And, like, but apparently, I heard that they had the song first.
I retract my
statement. You know, I need to see some documentation before I retract
my statement. We say it too much for them to have started it first. I never heard.
Me neither.
I mean, like,
the first time I ever heard it was when that boy in the cap did it.
I feel like it might be one of those. I feel like it might be one of those things, like, where, like, you know, like, we do it better, so it's ours.
True.
And but, it sounds
better. Yeah. I would like to see documentation where they physically did it first.
I would. It's like the great debate between Hampton and Howard, like, who was the first H something?
Fuck both of them schools. Yeah. Well, nah, I'm not gonna slander Howard too bad, because they. Like, not to turn into a misogynist at, like, 1 in the morning, but Howard has some very beautiful women who I'd like to respect.
That's going to be the new term. That's diet funky.
Diet funky?
Fucking, that's diet funky. Funky. That's diet fucking. Respect.
I like respect.
That's diet fucking. Like, diet bitch. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I mean, and... Trending
in the group chat real quick. Diet funky.
I love how you explain jokes.
So does that mean they were ever funny?
No, it's just like we'll be laughing, but then he'll like explain it to us.
So you guys get what I was talking about when I said
it. It's endearing.
Yeah. I mean, it's very charming.
Yeah, if it were some, I don't know, I feel like if I've seen people do that and it's annoying, but it's not annoying when you do it.
Thank you, I appreciate that. I really do.
So everybody loves the Mika, but when I do it, you know.
That's how I was then when we were at the gazebo. I was like, well, Jordan and Trent can dance and jump around when I do it.
People get on Trent's ass. People have started to get back on Jordan too.
Yeah.
It's not just you now.
We got on Trent because he was helping with stuff.
Okay.
Wall.
Wow.
My little stepping stool.
He's not conscious enough to defend himself right now.
That's not.
Nah. But I guess we can probably try to get some semblance of like cohesion here, and let's just talk about life at an HBCU as you're in your first semester.
Oh, it's amazing, man. I really, really, really love it. Like, the reason I came to A&T wasn't to necessarily escape white people. You know, that wasn't my motivation. It was the fact that it felt like home here. Like, people care about you. Even, like, maybe not necessarily the staff, but I feel like the staff does care. Some staff. But, like, the people on campus, like, it was an air of professionalism. I love seeing black people doing good and just, like, you know, out there achieving great things. And I wanted to come here when that was happening, like, you know. I don't believe that, you know, other people shouldn't come here. You know, it's a college. It's just a historically black college. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah. I'm so glad I didn't go to state because I wouldn't have met good people and, you know, had a good time. But I really love this.
I came to an HBCU to escape white people. But I love white people. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, you're honest.
No. No. Love white people. It's just, like, from... age like 6 months to 18 years I lived in a white community. Mm-hmm. And like it was cool up until about summer between junior and senior year, and then like something switched and I was like, okay, gotta get out of here. Like,
yeah, like a pro-black flip.
No. I'd always been pro-black, like, and that's the other thing, like a lot of people who live in like the predominantly white areas, like they kind of, like, feel this disconnect where they, like, wish that they were, like, white or wish that they weren't black. But my parents did a great job. Like, I never had that. I was always grateful to not be white, if anything. Like, mm-hmm. I was glad to be black. It's just hard being around people who, like, just can't connect with you in that way. Like, mm-hmm. all the time. Like, mm-hmm. and I would have cousins or, like, maybe like two friends that were black or whatever, you could like make eye contact with them across the room, but there's still that feeling of isolation where everybody else is just surrounding you, and it's like suffocating.
Yeah.
For when you're in that environment for like extended periods of time. And like here it's just like coming to an HBCU is kind of like relieving, like I don't have to always have like a guard up. Like, you know, like, I don't always have to be on 10. I don't always have to watch, like, what I say or, like, have to be listening to people for, like, to make sure, like, they're not being racist or, like, microaggressions. Because, like, oh, my God. Imagine going to school and, like, you have a friend, and then sometimes they say some, like, out-of-pocket shit, and you're like, wow, like, I can't be friends with you anymore because you're racist. Like,
yeah.
That shit's annoying as fuck.
Yeah, it is.
But, like, it's great here.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so I've definitely been enjoying myself here so far. Being out of state and just, well, I don't, like, because it's weird when I say that, because, like, I always used to come to North Carolina, like, almost every summer when I was little. Since, like, I have family, like, right over in Wilson, so it's not really too big of an issue. But just, yeah, coming to HBCU, I just knew I wanted to be around black people while we were all coming here to, like, achieve, like, that higher level of learning and whatnot. And I just figured, like, being around, like, succeeding around other black people, or at least trying to this semester, it's just showing me that, like, man, like, we're really talented and, like, we really can do whatever we really want to when we set our mind to it, like, and, like, I've definitely enjoyed the aura of, like, just, like, black happiness and black joy.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that Key and Peele sketch, like, Negro Town.
Yes, yeah. It's exactly like that. We're, like, in our own little bubble.
Yeah, like,
because it is a clear difference in the culture, so, like, the music, the slang, the sayings, the energy.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny how, like, when you're, like, down, you're, like, here, and then you, like, go down a couple blocks, and you're downtown, mm-hmm. and it's, like, all of a sudden, there's all these white people,
yeah.
and, like, I spent 17 years around a bunch of white people, but it took me, like, 3 seconds to get comfortable enough to where now, yeah. like, my norm is being just around only black people. Like, I told my parents, like, I don't think I could ever live in a predominantly white area ever again. Like, not live there. Like, of course I can work and just, like, be mm-hmm. out in the world or whatever. But
I just want to be around black. Like, I just feel like I do better in, like, around people who look like me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you have the same, like, experiences as you from, like,
definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody here has been, like, so, like, been so open, and, like, it's allowed for me to make some great friends.
Because we all came here for, like, the same reason, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, for different reasons, but ultimately the same.
Different,
reason.
But the same.
Yeah.
And it really surprises me, like, coming here. I was expecting, like, it wasn't just because it was HBC, but just college in general. I was expecting people to be kind of, like, standoffish and not so free and open with each other. But that's what attracted me to it, because I feel like that's where people were, like, getting to know each other, loving each other, and making friendships last a long time. It's just, I love that we're open with each other.
A&T was the only place I applied to because, like, I don't know. I just remember how I was saying how I make decisions. Like, I just don't make a decision until the last minute,
yeah.
and then it's, like, knee-jerk, like, I had my mind set. I was not coming here because my godmom and my mom were, like, honestly, they like did what they meant to do, but they were like trying to swindle me into going to this school because they wanted me to go so
yeah.
bad. And I was like, just say, I was like, y'all are not gonna trick me. Like, I'm not gonna fall for this. And then I went on the tour, and I was like, this is the school. Like, this is where I can see myself.
Yeah.
And I've been on other like college tours, and it was just kind of like, oh, well, I guess I can kind of imagine myself, but like
mm-hmm.
being here, I could like actually like visualize. Like, I didn't have to imagine like. And then it basically felt like I was already a student, even though, like, I hadn't applied or anything. Like, that's how people treated you.
Yeah. It was cool. Like, that was my process. Like, what I did, I got a piece of paper, and it was, like, A&T and State, pros and cons on the side. And, like, I tried to convince myself, like, State was the one.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew, like, deep down, I knew A&T.
Yeah.
Because it just, I don't know, I feel like if I came here, then, for one thing, I wanted to prove society wrong. Like, there's so much, like, stigma out there about HBCUs, so I wanted to come to one and just do fucking, like, freaking amazing.
Like, yeah, and, like,
become, like, the next Elon Musk. And they say, where school did you go to? A&T.
Yeah.
Speaking of that point, like, I know, like, y'all probably saw that video that went around of, like, that comedian. I'm not really going to plug his name.
Oh, my God. It wasn't even funny.
So, basically, what we're talking about here is he made this video saying HBCUs versus PWIs. And in the PWI section of his skit, done with air quotes, he was basically, it was just like this very verbose explanation of a teacher going through an assignment, talking to students, and I guess, oh, because he used a lot more words, it was supposed to be like a lot more of an educational challenge to the students or whatever. And then when he got to the HBCU section, all he did was some like very like elementary math problems, and just then he's like, oh, here's the tough one, like, and it was like 4 + 4 or whatever. And then when he went over, like, everybody in the class got an A or whatever. It was just, it was really ignorant, and I didn't find it funny in the first place. No, it was a black guy.
That's the thing. Whenever I hear slander about HBCUs, it comes from black people. Like, I've never seen a white person say anything bad about HBCUs. Like, it's always black people saying, oh, you're going there because, like, it's easy to get in.
That's what I got from, like, a lot of the black people in my school, like, oh, you're going there? I'm like, yeah, I'm going there.
First of all, white people don't even know what HBCUs are.
Yeah. Like, but then I was telling someone, like, I don't have this problem. I don't have a problem, like, people come here that aren't black. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, they shouldn't be systematically brought here just to get more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's just weird. But if they just genuinely want to come here, then that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, the guy... the white guy at Morehouse. Have y'all seen that video?
Yeah, I did.
Like, he genuinely loves Morehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's willing and accepting to take any questions people have to ask about why he's there. And I love that. Like, a lot of my white friends are like, yeah, I could never make it there. Or, I could never go there. I'm like, why not? You can go. I mean, Hannah, you're gonna face discrimination. I mean, yeah, not discrimination, but you're gonna get some looks and some questions and probably gonna get, you know, some assholes approaching you and stuff like that. But hey, that's what I'm gonna do when I go to your school. You know what I'm saying?
That's
and that was another thing. Like, people say, well, it's not diverse, and you're not gonna get, you know, what's out there in the real world. I'm like, what do you mean? If I go there, it's predominantly white, and then a sprinkle of black, a sprinkle of Asian, a sprinkle of Indian, and I come here, it's just predominantly black, and a sprinkle of whites, and a sprinkle of Asians, and a sprinkle of Indians. But so it's predominantly something, you know?
HBCUs are so diverse, though. Like, there is more than one type of black person.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's just, yeah. That's definitely something I've come to know. Cause
you can tell, like...
It's like people just, like, from where they're from, the different areas that they're from, like, where their families are from, different countries, like, even different area codes. Like, it's crazy, like, how different everyone is.
It's so beautiful. I love it. Like... Okay, like, the people in the TV lounge, you know, always playing the video games, the nerdy kind of black guys.
Yeah.
Different kind of black people. You got your nerdy black guys, you got your hood, you got your educated, you're a freaky, and you know, like, you know, there's so many, you know, I'm just
pause.
You're freaky.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many
Absolutely, because, like, something I've, like, because I guess, like, a lot of stuff you would probably consider, this is done with air quotes again, like, white people shit.
Yeah.
I see a lot of black people here doing.
It's skateboarding, video games, anime, all that stuff.
Skateboarding is so cool.
All that stuff used to be called white and weird.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what bothers me today? The rappers, back in the day, I'm saying, like, it was a long time ago. But, like, when we were younger, if you watched anime, you were weird. You were gay. You were this and that. Like, are you watching that shit, dude? But now, like, since the rappers...
All the hood niggas watch anime.
But they didn't promote it. They didn't say it out loud.
I mean, yeah, they're doing the DM.
But then the rapper said... Oh, a rapper says Sizzle Bean or Goku. And they're like, oh, yeah, I used to watch that.
Oh, or fucking Michael B. Jordan talks about... He said it really weird,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like, Naruto.
I watched Naruto.
I was like, what? But, like, since it's, like, in the mainstream now, oh, it's cool. Like, nah, man, leave that.
No, like...
I mean, but, like, if they enjoyed it before and now they feel some kind of freedom and liberation and, like, they feel comfortable enough to, like,
do it.
Celebrate it,
I
that's
agree with
cool.
It. I do. It's just weird how that worked out.
And if some people are, like, now introduced to it because...
Yeah. I mean, new fans are always welcome.
Yeah, always. Anime is a wonderful.
Alright, before we get on an anime tangent again,
I can't contribute.
Huh?
contribute on the anime.
Trent, we gotta get you right with some animes. We
I want to watch was Death Note.
Oh, you good?
That is a very solid one.
I didn't watch that.
I'm more of a fan of like reading it because like a lot of times like anime adaptations will do like they'll do fine, but like at that same point I just want to see like what the author like. What they like painstakingly like drew out and like writ their story, because I feel like that, like, I mean, translations aside, what is there anything that can really like change what you're looking at, like, because like that's what they intended you to see.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about that rant. A little tangent, anyways. But
you're talking about different types of black people.
Yeah. What other were there any other HBCUs that you applied to?
I thought I was gonna go to Clark Atlanta.
Really?
Yeah, well, I only applied to A&T, but, like, I had my Clark Atlanta, like, application halfway filled out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was pretty positive I was going to go there, because it's close to home. Like, I would have had in-state tuition, but it's super expensive, even though it is a public school. Mm-hmm. Like, super expensive. And then also, like, they be shooting in the AU Center. And, like, I was okay and willing to accept that, but my parents were not happy about it. Because, like, they used to work for Atlanta Police Department, so, like, they know how, like, much they be shooting.
Her parents were proud, remember?
They be shooting, and they ain't using it. Like, they be shooting, shooting.
Yeah. But I didn't apply to Morehouse, but I was considering it.
Okay.
I don't know why I didn't. I think because I thought, like, oh, a bunch of dudes. But then I didn't realize that Skillman was, like, right across the street.
Yeah.
Not across the street.
Not, well, like, it's the same campus, right?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah. It's Spelman, Clark, Morehouse.
Oh, they, like, got like, a little, like, trifecta, like.
It's literally, like a neighborhood, like, townhouses. Like, you know how townhouses are connected? It's like that. Like, they share a library. Some of them take classes at the other school, like.
Yeah, see, if I had known that, I might have considered that.
I'll have to take a trip to Atlanta.
Yeah,
you'll have to check it out.
Atlanta's the best. Come visit Atlanta.
You gotta put us on.
We should do a Mingo Gang trip to Atlanta.
We should do the
Ball Bar.
It would be so much fun. Okay, but like y'all like live in North Carolina, so it's not fun.
Yes, it is. Charlotte, there's some stuff to do in Charlotte. And then plus
it's not fun because, like, it's not fun because y'all are from North Carolina.
You're from Atlanta.
That's what I'm saying, but, like, all of y'all are from North Carolina, except for, like, Tashawn and Cam and Jordan and Micaiah.
So, yeah.
I think, the HBCUs, alright, so there were a couple. A&T was, like, the last one I applied to, and, like, I didn't even think I'd go, because I didn't know the school existed until, like, September, like, my senior year.
Yeah.
But it was, like, FAMU, I applied and was accepted.
Mm.
Howard, applied and got in. Morehouse, applied and got in. Xavier University of Louisiana, I applied and got in. And North Carolina A&T. So, I think, like, it was just, like, I was really considering a lot of them. Because, like, Xavier especially. Because, like, I heard, like, their computer science department was really good, and they were getting a lot of money. So, then, like, I guess just, like, with everything else, it was just, like, either, yeah. So, like, one thing that really deterred me from going to Florida was because whenever I brought it up to, like, my mom or whatever, she would just, like, start to get, like, really, like, upset and just, like, really, like, started, like, almost crying because, like, I would have been so far away, and, like, I didn't really have any family in Florida at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess she was just like, I mean, she would have been happy that I was going off to college, but I guess it's just, like, the location. Because, like, she can come see me anytime she wants since we have so much family in North Carolina. I guess it was more of a, just, like, her not being able to see me as often as she'd like then. But that's not really why I didn't go to FAMU, because I heard they didn't give me any scholarships because I couldn't go to Florida to take some type of test to see if I qualify for any. But it's you gotta go to Florida to take the test. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Florida is a weird place.
FAMU. Hey, check out FAMU on HBCU Confessions. That is some wild stuff.
I actually know a guy who posted at HBCU Confessions.
Really?
Yeah,
which
it was.
One?
It was a while ago, like earlier in the semester. He was talking about, I think it was like, it went like this. Every time I see white girls and like their little pancake butts, I think to myself, like, man, I'd eat that. Yeah.
And it had end cap by it.
I mean, like, you don't want to lie and like say another school, do you?
No, but it's just sad that that's going.
I mean, I feel like it was more of a joke, but I mean, I think, like, a lot of stuff is going to us. You really think, like, but like for every
but Fanny's worse.
Yeah, for every one bad like tweet from your school, there are like three more from Fanny.
Yeah,
you'll be just fine.
No, you don't want to feel that something stupid. I was with Makai and them. I said, "What is this anon school? They're crazy." It was anonymous. I was like, "Who's anon?"
Like, where is that located?
Where is that at? I didn't apply.
Wisconsin?
Is that Wisconsin?
Wisconsin?
Calpine. Hmm.
Oh, man. Well, you guys got anything else to talk about before we get out of here?
Oh, shit. What, did it start over?
I think it's had like an hour.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wow. Well, guys, that was first episode, an extension of Mango Minutes. It's been great. I hope you enjoyed the conversation, and we're watching. If we were listening to this from like 10 years from now, this is D'Amico.
This is Tashawn.
Trent.
And we're signing off. And we're out of here.
We're going to put this on all major streaming platforms. So our thoughts will be out there.
Oh my God.
I told you.
You're not. Do I press pause?
Save, I think.